Sacred Scripture recounts for us the episode of King David bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the city of David, and we are told that the Ark of the Covenant was brought to Jerusalem amid great festivities, and great sacrifices were offered up, and food was distributed to the people, i.e. a great banquet was held. And so the people who participated in the festivities received a certain temporal blessing that accompanied the celebration of the coming of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, to the city of David. And so this Ark of the Covenant, which was established during the sojourn of the Israelites in the desert when the Lord took them out of Egypt, this Ark of the Covenant, indicating a dwelling of the Lord, although this was merely a foreshadowing of the true dwelling of the Lord, namely our Blessed Lady, and also all of those places that serve as tabernacles for our Lord, truly present body, blood, soul, and divinity in the new dispensation. So this Ark of the Covenant, this place indicating the dwelling of the Lord, was an occasion for great joy among the people who recognized, who acknowledged the Lord dwelling in their midst. And so this brings us to our first consideration, namely our need to acknowledge the Lord dwelling in our midst. And in our case, we do not treat of a mere foreshadowing of the dwelling of the Lord in our midst, but our Lord truly in our midst, because our Lord truly dwells, as we said, body, blood, soul, and divinity in our tabernacles. The Word of God took flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He truly became the Son of Mary. He truly entered into the world. And for those who acknowledged the Son of Mary and the Son of God, for them this was life. Life for them was acknowledging the one, the author of life, who gave them true life. And this ought to be our life as well. This ought to be the life of all Christians. As we know, there is great confusion today about the reality of our Lord dwelling in our midst amongst Catholics, not to mention those who are not Catholics. Naturally, if there is confusion among Catholics about whether our Lord is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Most Holy Eucharist, why should it surprise us that among non-Catholics there is not this acknowledgement either? So the first point is that we are clear that our Lord truly has come into our midst, and that he's waiting for our acknowledgement. If our Lord has come into our midst, he acknowledges us. He has come to us to distribute blessings to us. The question is, are we willing to acknowledge the Lord so that we may receive what our Lord already wants to give us? So many people fail to acknowledge the presence of our Lord, and therefore, are they in a position to receive the tremendous blessings the Lord wishes to give them? And so we need to reflect in our hearts about whether we really appreciate the fact that our Lord is present here and in any church or oratory where he is reserved for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament remains. Whether we appreciate the fact and whether we come to acknowledge that fact, he is here for us. He dwells in our midst. It is not for his own sake, but for our sake, that he dwells in our midst. And so we need to reflect and ask ourselves whether we are willing in every time and place to call that presence of our Lord, to acknowledge him, so that we may dispose ourselves to receive his blessings. The second point of consideration is that we have to move beyond mere acknowledgement, but to rejoice in the presence of our Lord. King David celebrated with abandon, we are told in sacred scripture. And so did all of Jerusalem. They celebrated as the Ark of the Lord was processed through Jerusalem to its resting place, to a tent that David had pitched for it. And we have to ask ourselves the questions, is the fact that we can come into the presence of our Lord an occasion of joy for us? Does it please us to come and be before our Lord, to rejoice in the Lord? Is a celebration of Holy Mass on Sunday or of any day of the week, is it an occasion of joy? Is it the high point of our day? Is it the culmination of our Christian life? Because that's what the liturgy ought to be for us. The most holy sacrament, the sacrifice of the Mass, is, the Catechism tells us, the Eucharist, the Catechism tells us, the source and summit of our Christian life. Is that the way it truly is for us? Is our life of prayer geared toward this source and summit of our life? Do we draw our strength from it? Because that's what the Lord intends. That's why the Lord has instituted this sacrament whose price we cannot, whom we cannot measure, whose price we cannot measure. Who can estimate the price that our Lord paid for each one of us? And so it is an occasion for tremendous joy because our Lord paid this price for our sake, for our salvation. And that's the occasion for joy. That's the cause for joy. That's why we ought to celebrate and realize that in nothing else will we find our true joy. We can look elsewhere in an attempt to satisfy our hearts, to find a bit of temporary joy. But all of these other things pass, and only our Lord remains. And he wishes to remain in our hearts. And the more we open our hearts up to the joy that comes from above, the more we will realize all the other joys are nothing at all. And so we ought to seek that joy, and we ought to rejoice. Be willing to rejoice in the presence of our Lord. Let him fill us with that joy that no one can take away. And the final consideration is related to the one I just made, and that is the subject of sacrifice. Because joy in this life is intermingled with sacrifice. Indeed, we are called to give a sacrifice of praise. Sometimes we have to, deny ourselves in order to give to the Lord what it is that he is asking of us. But the great saints of all times have come to understand that the more generous we are in sacrificing ourselves, there we will find our true joy. Joy is found, indeed, true joy is found in sacrificing oneself for our Lord. Not sacrificing in any way, but for our Lord. It pleased our Lord to offer up his life for us. It pleased him. It was his joy to do the will of the Father, and therefore to offer up his life for us who were estranged from God. Could it not be our joy to console our Lord, so that in our case, the sacrifice our Lord offered up for us would not be in vain? Could we not then unite our own paltry sacrifices to that of the Lord? Is that what we are not called to do at this holy sacrifice of the Mass? To first of all acknowledge not only the presence but the sacrifice of the Lord, that sacrifice that which is represented at Holy Mass, that same sacrifice of Calvary, represented in an unbloody manner. And we, privileged as we are to participate in this sacrifice, are called to unite to that sacrifice. And the more that we dispose ourselves, the more that we remove from those things, remove from ourselves those things that keep us from fully uniting to our Lord in sacrifice, the more that we will find that joy that we were just talking about. Yes, indeed, true joy is found in uniting ourselves in sacrifice to the sacrifice of our Lord. St. Maximilian Kolbe once said, The true religious is not truly happy unless he has some sacrifice that he can offer up, that he can unite to the sacrifice of our Lord. That's the true religious, St. Maximilian said, and that's the true Christian. The true Christian is not truly happy unless he has something that he can generously offer to the Lord, something that he can deny. That's how we can tell whether we are walking forward or backward. Are we willing to? Is it hard? Yes, of course it's hard. Sacrifice, properly understood, is not the easiest thing. But in our Lord, all things are easy. He can make all things easy. And following this plan of our Lord, then blessings will come. In the Old Testament, it came in the form of material blessings. And so, at the end of the celebration, every man and woman in the entire multitude of Israel received a loaf of bread, a cut of roast meat, and a raisin cake. Now our Lord has prepared for us something better than a loaf of bread, a cut of roast meat, and a raisin cake. Now, I don't know about you, but it's nice to have a loaf of bread. It's nice to have a cut of roast meat. Maybe not nice to have a raisin cake, depending on whether it's your taste or not, right? Maybe you prefer something else. So it's okay to enjoy the temporal blessings that our Lord gives us. How much better is it to come into the blessings of our Lord that redound to eternal life? Those are the blessings that we ought to be seeking, and those are the blessings that our Lord wants to give us, which he will certainly give us if we acknowledge him, if we rejoice in him, and we are willing to be generous in our sacrifice for his sake, in love, for love of him, uniting to his sacrifice, which was for love of us. And who knows better than the Blessed Virgin Mary what it means to acknowledge the presence of the Lord, whom she carried in her womb, to rejoice in the Lord, so eloquently expressed in the Magnificat, and to unite in sacrifice to the Lord, which she did perfectly. Not only on Calvary, most perfectly there, of course, but throughout her whole life, being as she was, co-redemptrix, united to the Redeemer. And she did all this in union with our Lord for our sake. She loves us tremendously, and she can help us to do all of these things most perfectly. Praise be Jesus and Mary.